Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by Baylife Church, Port Stephens. We hope you find this message challenges and inspires you in your daily Christian walk. For more information, visit www.baylifechurch.org.au.
Life. But for me, the book of Job became like a lifeline. And it was something that I would just mull over and look at and read and mull over. And the more I look, I'm sure I could probably go for 6 or 8 weeks. So I'm going to try and bring it together very quickly. But I've heard lots of people speak on the book of Job. And I've heard people say all sorts of different things. And I'm just going to let some of the girls off the hook this morning as well with Job's wife, by the way. So here we go with that. So, so most people, they kind of start at the book of Job and they go, yeah, all these terrible things happen. And then they skip to the back of Job and go, and guess what? God just blessed him. Bang. All done. Finish. That's not how it happened. It really isn't. There is so much in the book of Job that you and I can glean from. As I said, it could take us a long time. So I am really going to be going very, very quickly this morning to give you a little bit of oversight of Job and how that, in some of those things that can relate to our life. And as we know, Job was a very wealthy, influential man. And he says that he lived in the land of Uz, not in the land of Oz, in the land of Uz. And he was very wealthy, very, very rich. He had a lot of property. He had you can put it up there, what he owned. He owned lots and lots of things. He had donkeys. He had sheep. He had teams of oxens, 500 teams of oxens. That's a fair bit of stuff. He owned camels. He owned a lot of things. There you go. It's all up there. 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camel. And he had a whole bunch of servants to run that stuff. So you're also paying wages, yeah? Now, it seemed that Job was just blessed, 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 yeah? Until one day, as we know the story, Satan comes before God and he says, hey, what have you been up to, Satan? He says, well, actually, I've been out checking the earth out. That's what he does. If you look at our world today, you can see he's playing havoc in our world. And he's walking throughout the earth, checking the earth out. And he says to him, but have you considered my servant Job? Because there's no one like him. In fact, he's devoted to God. In other words, he loves me. And he shuns evil. He hates evil with a passion. In other words, he hates you, Satan. And there it was. And he says, well, the reason is, God, it's because you bless everything he has. And you just give him everything he wants. And I can't get to him. In fact, he's like your pet. You just give him everything he wants, and I can't get to him. But you know what, God? If you reached out your hand and you touched the things that he has, you know what? He's going to curse you to your face. Now, that's a challenge. And God said, go on, do whatever you want. But you can't hurt him. And so we know that it was pretty quickly that Satan came along and played havoc with Job's life. And we know within, I think it was probably in the same day, one servant comes running up to him and he says this. He says to him, you know what's happened? He says, something terrible has happened. All your donkeys have gone. He said, and your oxen have been stolen and all your field hands have been killed. In other words, his servants have been murdered. Did you think of that before? His servants had been murdered. And then another servant turns up and he says, what, a bolt of lightning just came from heaven and it struck all your sheep and all your shepherds and they were fried to a crisp. His workers had been killed by lightning and now his sheep had already gone. While one servant is speaking, another one runs across and he says, the Chaldeans have just come and they've attacked all your camels and they've taken them away and they've killed all your servants that were looking after them. Murder. More servants. And while one servant is speaking, another servant runs in and he says, a tornado just came in from the desert. I mean, it just happened to come in. Just happened to come by. And it came right across the house where Job's children were partying. And of course it collapsed and it killed them all. His 10 children were wiped out in a day. His servants, his paid hire, they were murdered. If you can imagine the picture of what had happened here, and you're a big property owner, and suddenly there's a smell and there's a stench of death everywhere. You see, not only did he just lose his children and his servants and his stock, he lost his livelihood that day. He lost everything in a day. It was taken right from underneath his nose. Now, prior to that, Job used to make daily sacrifices for his children just in case they sinned. They would regularly hold parties in their house and invite their sisters over for the parties. And Job, he loved God. He was so devoted that he would make those sacrifices and pray for his children just in case they sinned. And now this terrible thing has happened and come upon his life. But you know, his response was a little bit different than what my response would be, and probably even what your response would be. He says this, that he got to his feet and he ripped off his clothes and he shaved his head. I don't know how he did all that. I don't know, was there a razor blade nearby? I don't know, you know, but did he get a rock and cut his hair? What did he do? But it says this, that he fell to the ground and worshipped. Now, what would you do? Would you fall to the ground and worship? You've just heard the most tragic news you could ever hear. I mean, what else could go possibly wrong? And he just says this. He says, God gives and God takes. Blessed be his name forever. I'm thinking, man, this guy's a legend. Who says that? Who says, blessed be God and blessed be his name forever? I'm thinking, there's no way I could be able to do that. In fact, my response when I heard about my daughter's passing away was, I blame God straight away. That was my response towards that news. But as we know, Satan is quite relentless and doesn't stop. And he comes reporting again, and God says, what have you been up to? He says, well, I've just been checking the earth. I've just been playing havoc on the earth. And he says to him, have you considered my servant Job? He says, he's devoted to God. He loves me, says God. He loves me. And he hates evil. He hates you. You're the essence of evil. He hates you. And he says, well, what do you think, God? A human will save his own skin, won't he? Of course he will. He looks after himself. But if you reach down, God, and you touch his health, he'll curse you to your face. And of course we know God gave him permission to do exactly that. And of course he said to him, you can do whatever you want, but you can't kill him. And of course we know Job is smitten from head to feet. Now I was going to put a picture up of a boil, but you know what? The more I kept looking at boils on the internet, I was feeling sick. Some of them are so gross. I mean, some people got popping all across their head. And I'm thinking, oh, man. And the more I looked, the more I realized just how bad Job must have looked. With these popping, big, juicy, yellow things everywhere, under his armpits, on his bum for when he sits down, in between his legs. I mean, he was an epitome of a mess. And his wife is like, what the heck? And she says to him, just curse God and die. Just get it over with. What more is there left? I mean, no wonder she says that to him. And you know what he says? Well, We take the good days from God, we got to take the bad days too. I mean, this is Job. I'm thinking, Job, you're amazing. That's what I'm thinking. But you see, he would say nothing against God. Nothing at all. Not once did he blame God in anything that he was going through. But, you know, the only thing that Job's wife didn't get, and here's where we get off, girls, here, right here. You see, the attack was never against Job's wife. It was always against Job. The conversation in heaven was always about my servant Job. It was never about Job's wife. That day, she lost everything too. The husband didn't run up to her and come and go, oh, my darling, oh, let me make... He was in such a mess. He was a broken man. Right there, his body was broken. His spirit was broken. Everything about him was broken. And the only thing she didn't have was the sores. But that day, she had lost her 10 children who she loved, who she nursed, who she cared for, and saw them grow up. And now she is going and trying to find frantically, where are her children? That she's heard the report that they've been killed. Where are they? I don't know how that feels when I'm told that my daughter has died. I'm like, where? Wow, how come? And now you have to run and find them and see if it's really true. Has this really happened? The stench of death everywhere, the livelihood gone. And now the news would have spread throughout the region very, very quickly. And people would have been running to see where their loved one was too. The man that provided. Their husbands that had gone to work that day and weren't coming home. Their sons that had gone to work that weren't coming home. You know, this made Job a despised man. And as we know, he's just sad and in the ashes, and his friends turn up. His mates, his besties, they turn up and they look at him and they go, what the? It says that they hardly recognized him. Overnight, he'd become a person that you could no longer recognize. The grief, the mental torture, everything that had happened had just changed him from the inside out. And they sat there with him for 7 days and no one said anything. I mean, I find it hard not to speak for one day. Am I two? Three? You're pushing it. But 7 days. They're just sitting there for 7 days, no one speaking. And suddenly Job, after 7 days, he begins to talk. And he says this. He says, I wish I'd never been born. I've heard that word flung around at different times. You know, sometimes the pain's so great, people say, I wish I'd never been born. I didn't want to have this day. This wasn't what I wanted. And you know, and he goes on, he says, what's the point of life? What is the point of it? It doesn't make sense anymore. And at times in our own lives, things can go so wrong, so left field. We go, it doesn't make sense. Life doesn't make sense. I've done all the right things. You've got to remember, Job tried to do all the right things. And, you know, with us, we can be going through a hard time and we're trying to get out of it and we're praying to God and we're just, we're nearly there and we just start to breathe and then another battle just comes our way and tries to take us out again. And life can be like that where this does not make sense. And Job says, the thing I dread, the thing I feared the most has come upon me. You know, his life was so upside down and he could not be consoled. And he started to just pour out his soul out of his brokenness. And he was brutally honest with how he felt. Have you ever been around people that are brutally honest? You don't know what to say. And he was so brutally honest that his friends couldn't stand it. And they said to him, you know what? You need to stop talking nonsense. You need to stop it, Job. You need to get yourself together. Don't you see that God was punishing your children for their sins? You should repent, Job. You're not innocent as you make out. Well, that would be me too. I'm not innocent. I can relate to some of this. He says, one of his friends told him he hasn't got half of what he deserves. Oh my goodness. How much more do you have to take? I mean, you might as well just die. They also accuse him of exploiting the poor. They accuse him of not looking after the widows or feeding the hungry. And this is probably why this has happened to you. They tell him the tables have turned upon him. It's your turn. The tables have turned on you. And they tell him that he's a first-class moral failure. Oh, ouch. Isn't that nice to be told that? You're a first-class moral failure. And they tell him he's a sinner and he should admit it and get on with it. You know, they sound so self-righteous, like they know it all. They tell him there's no end to their sins. But you know what the Bible says? No one is without sin. No one. Doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, how good you are, how many times you come to church, how many times you get on your knees. No one is without sin. Our righteousness is in Christ alone. In Christ alone. You know, Job didn't care what they said. He didn't listen to them. He just kept ranting and raving and pouring out his soul, what was going on inside of him. You know, sometimes it's hard to listen to someone that's really, really hurting. And sometimes it's hard to sit and be silent. But you know what? That's the greatest thing we could ever do. I know my friend, after the funeral of Jessica, she rang me from England and she said to me, Lois, I'm not coming to the funeral, but I'm hopping on a plane and I'm going to meet you up at the Gold Coast and I want you to tell me all the good, all the bad and all the ugly. Just tell me. And I'll just sit and listen. That was the greatest thing anyone could ever do for me. Without judgment. It's easy to call judgment on people's lives. We're not here to be the judge. We're here to listen. And we're here to pray. That's what we're here for. We're here to help. And so they continue to tell him that he got off quite lightly. You've got off real lightly, Job. You see, they wanted him to recover. Come on, you've had 7 days. Get up. You're finished. It doesn't happen like that, does it? It really doesn't. I mean, it'd be right like running, being run over by a truck. And you just want to stay splat on the road. That's how Job probably felt right there and then. But you know, there was a bigger picture that had taken place that the friends didn't understand. They wanted him to recover, but they didn't know about the conversation that had taken place in heaven regarding Job, because he said there's no one quite like Job. He's devoted to me. Where they're saying quite the opposite of what God thought. And you know, we can think really bad things about ourselves, but God doesn't think about that about us. He has good thoughts towards us. Other people might judge you and make a judgment call on your life, but that's not how God sees you. He loves you just as you are. Don't listen to those people that speak bad and evil things of you. And they always will be around. They'll always try to assassinate your character, assassinate who you are. And we have to decide if we're going to listen to the assassinators or we're going to listen to God. Because God is for us. He is not against us. But all they wanted to do was graffiti his life with lies. I love what he says about them. He says, you know what, you're a bunch of pompous quacks. I love that. It's a good saying, isn't it? Pompous quacks. And I wish you'd shut your mouths. You know, sometimes we just need to shut our mouths, yeah? Sometimes we just need to do that. You see, Job, he said this. He says, I'm going to take my case to God. I'm not going to listen to you anymore. I just want to take my case to God. I just want to go to him. I want to go directly to him and not listen to you guys anymore. Have you ever just wanted an audience with God? Have you ever wanted to do that? Just where you want to talk with him. Just spend that time. You know, we can receive counsel off other people, and that's all good. But you know, there's a time when we just need to get in God's face and go, here I am, God. Speak to me. I need to hear from you for myself. Because when we hear from God for ourselves, something happens. God says, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. God cannot help himself because he loves us so much. And, you know, I don't know what it would be like for Job. He'd had it all. But, you know, as he continued to talk about wanting God, he said, I've never worshipped anything. I've never worshipped money. And he tries to find every reason why he could kind of reason with God for everything that's going on. You know, you can't always reason with God like that. But God turns up in the midst of, I want an audience with God. I want to take my case to God. You know, I think he thought he could have God and say, now God, how dare you? You know, it doesn't work. I tried that. Didn't work. You know, I told God all sorts of things, but it didn't work. And all the time he's just trying to get my heart. He's just trying to pull me back the whole time. He wants to comfort me. He wants to tell me how good he is. You know, and God turns up and he says to Job, hey, where were you when I created the earth? Where were you? Who decided on its size? Was it you, Job? Was it you? Were you there when I poured the foundations of the earth? Were you there when the blueprints and the measurements were being laid out? Did you get to have your say in any of that at all? Were you there when the stars, they just sang in chorus and the angels praised as all this was happening? Who do you think's in charge of the ocean, Job? Have you thought about that? He says, were you there when I got hold of the ocean and I put it in a big playpen and said, stay there? You can only go and do what I say. Were you there, Job? And Job had no answers to what God was saying. And God proceeded to give Job a lesson on the creation, on the earth, how creatures were born and what they do, how they give birth, about the times and the seasons and the weather. I love this. He says, hey, Job, do you know where light comes from? Do you know about darkness? Do you know how to lead it home if it gets lost? Of course you do. You grew up in the same neighborhood as that, didn't you? You should know all these things. You know, he was just running rings around Job. You know, God can run rings. Just what David, that was really good this morning, by the way, about God being so big, because that's exactly who he is. He is so big. God is so magnificent. But I love this. I love snow. Come from England. Love snow. Snow's my favourite stuff. And love it. I love movies with snow in. I'll get off on movies with snow. If it's a really boiling hot day, especially Christmas, put a snow on. Put a movie snow on. A snow movie, whatever you want to call it. Okay. So he says to him, I think it's the best stuff God ever made was snow. Have you travelled to where the snow's made? I'm like, I wish I could. That'd be so good. You know, have you seen the hail, how it's piled up? It says, do you know where lightning comes from? Do you know how the wind blows? Do you know all that stuff? Do you know who charts the routes of thunderstorms? You see all those storm chaser people? They'd like to know that. Well, God knows it all. And he goes on and he says to him, you know, Do you think for a minute or imagine these marvels of weather just happen? Just happen? See, God knows what he's doing. That's what he's trying to get over to Job. God knows what he's doing, and God knows what he's doing in your life. You might not like what's going on in your life right now, and you might not like what's going on in the member of a family that you know. But God knows, and we need to go to God. You see, we can't bring God down to our size. We can't reduce him to our thinking, because our thinking is so limited and we only have our own human wisdom. Just like his friends, they thought out of their human wisdom and the limited knowledge that they had of God. That's what they were using on Job. But there are times when we just need an audience with God, a face-to-face with God, to talk to him. Because when we talk to him, God starts to put things back in perspective. Line upon line, prospect upon prospect. God knows exactly what he's doing. And Job says this, "I'm speechless. I don't know what I'm talking about. I've said too much." You know, we need to get to that place where we just need to shut up and listen to what God is saying. You know, it's so easy to think that injustices are happening in our life and God doesn't care. God does care. He cares about us. But I love this, because I just love this, how God speaks to Job and he says to him, "Do you presume to tell me what I'm doing wrong?" I'd hate God to say that to me. "Are you calling me a sinner?" I can't call God a sinner or a saint. "And do you have an arm like my arm, Job?" You got an arm like my arm, Job? Have you got that? Do you have an arm like my arm? "Can you shout in the way of thunder like I can?" Come on, Job. Have a go. Shout in the thunder like me and see if you can do it. You know, Job had nowhere to go. He had nowhere to go. In fact, God says to him, "You know what, Job, I'll step aside. I'll gladly step aside and hand things over to you, and because you can surely save yourself with no help from me, can't you?" See, we need God. We need his help. We need his help every day of our lives. We need his help. We can do nothing without him. We are lost without him. And I'm just going to skip down to this last little piece of scripture where Job says this, "I admit I once lived by rumors of you. Now I have it firsthand from my own eyes and ears, and I'm sorry, forgive me, I'll never do it again. And I promise I'll never again live on crusts of hearsay, crumbs of rumors." Living off hearsay, living off rumors, living off crumbs. You know, the definition of a rumor is this: it's a piece of information that may or may not be true, or a mixture of truth and untruth passed around verbally. You see, you can't live off something passed around. You can't live off something that you just read in a book. You can't live off somebody else's experience or past experience. We need to find God ourselves. And the best thing Job did was run to the presence of God and needed an audience with God. Because when we do that, things start to change. He was doing all the right things before, but now he was encountering God in a different way and encountering the God of the universe. See, when we encounter the God of the universe, something starts to happen. You see, going to church is just a small part of it. And we can know of him, but we need to know him. We need to know him, not just know of him. When we know him, we start to think differently. Our thought life changes. We realize in the hard time, God is still with me. He's not left me. He may feel for a a season or a fraction of time that he's walked away, but he never has. We need to run into his presence. We need to experience the power and the presence of him. Because when we experience the presence of God, we are changed. Something happens within that. He knew of God to a measure, and we all know God to a measure, don't we? We do. We have a measure and we have an understanding of God. We all do. But we can have our eyes open to a greater measure, a greater place. We should never settle for less, but we should settle for more. More of God. Going further, going deeper, wanting to know this creator of the universe that flung the stars, spoke the earth into existence. How great is our God? How big is our God? His arm is not short that he cannot heal. He is a miracle working God in our lives every day. You see, Job encountered a facet of God he had never seen. And in the midst of whatever you're going through, you can encounter a facet of God you have never seen, only if you allow yourself to do that. Else you can just go back within your cave and just stay in that mediocre place. Never experience another depth in God, because there is another depth in God that we can all go to, that we can all experience. We do not need to settle and go, well, I'm just going to go through life just at this level. No. There is more. Read it for yourself. I've just taken a few snippets there. But if you sit and you read and you meditate and you digest and you ponder and you think, God has got so much more. So much more. Let's not live off rumors. Let's not live off crumbs, bits. Let's not scratch around. But let's come and eat and drink, soak, coming to know him. There's so much. When life is tough, let's not stay sat in the ashes. Let's get up. It's okay to stay there for a while, but get up. We will all have knockdowns in life. And we'll all experience them differently. Every one of us has a testimony. But you know what? While you're living through this life, you will have troubles. You will have problems. It will come. But you can't stay in the ashes. You've got to get up. You can't listen to rumors. You've got to stay focused on God. You've got to dig deep into God. You know, if Job had never pursued God, if he never pleaded his case with God, God might never have showed up. Could have been a different story. What sort of story do you want in your life? You know, what Job did caused him to move forward. Because I'm not on the last page, but I'm finishing here. That's for next week. But you know what? That encounter caused Job to move forward. An encounter with God will cause you and I to move forward. Yeah? Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the message today brought to you by Baylife Church. We hope the message leaves you feeling challenged and inspired to live out your Christian walk. Please tune in again for next week's message.